at 6:20. This is KEI News. I'm Justin Martin. Tomorrow morning, a group plans to protest the removal of Confederate monuments, and it's happening in the same Dallas park where a monument was just taken down. The protest by the group called This Is Texas Freedom Force is set for 11 o'clock at Lee Park. That's where the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee was removed last night. The group calls monument removal an attack on Texas history. It's encouraging attendees to openly carry guns if they have the proper license. The Lee statue is in storage now. A city task force is working on what to do with other Dallas statues and public places named after the Confederacy. Meanwhile, the Dallas School Board is discussing whether to rechristen campuses named after Confederate leaders. In Houston and along the Texas Gulf Coast, Hurricane Harvey displaced hundreds of foster families. The Texas Tribune reports that flooded roads made it tough for some state caseworkers to even meet with kids who were at risk. Today on the public radio news magazine Texas Standard, host David Brown talked with Tribune reporter Marissa Evans.
There's something particularly special about foster families and families receiving services through DFPS because they have vulnerable children, children who have dealt with abuse and neglect, very traumatic experiences. And with any natural disaster, everyone's bound to be a little traumatized from losing their stuff to experiencing catastrophic winds and flooding. Right now, it's a matter of getting the families the things that they need. But particularly when it comes to children, making sure that this natural disaster doesn't exacerbate prior behavioral or mental health issues.
It's my understanding, according to the piece that you did for the Tribune, that caseworkers have sort of been fighting upstream. I mean, in some cases, literally trying to get out to meet up with some of these kids and their families. They just can't get through the water.
Exactly. I mean, it's actually even really crazy. When I talked to DFPS, they said that throughout the storm that they were operating, they had caseworkers who couldn't get to these families, but they were calling them before, during, and after, trying to make sure they were sheltered or had a good shelter. You have caseworkers who desperately want to actually make physical face-to-face contact with families and these kids. As the CPS commissioner said, they've been really heroic with trying to still connect, make sure they're staying on top of families and everything, while some of their own caseworkers have lost their own homes and are also dealing with this disaster in their own way.
You write that it wasn't easy to recruit enough foster families before Harvey. Now child welfare advocates say it could become even more difficult. How so and why?
When it comes to foster families, if you have all these potential families that were actually maybe interested in becoming a foster parent or interested in caring for a child that's actually in their family who's faced abuse and neglect, and you just lost your home, it's going to be really difficult to make a case with the state of, hey, I can take care of a kid even though I just had my own home flooded out, even though I don't have a car and no way to get them to their doctor's appointments. The biggest issue right now for child welfare advocates is looking long-term, not just at do these families have the diapers and the food that they need, but also do they have the capacity to care for these kids?
Marissa Evans of the Texas Tribune, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to speak with us.
Thank you.
Sunday night, the latest epic from historical filmmaker Ken Burns premieres on KERA-TV. It's an 18-hour miniseries called The Vietnam War, and it digs into how that time was excruciating for combatants on both sides and for the civilians who witnessed the violence. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to Burns and Lynn Novick about how they set out to take a look at the war through the eyes of everyday people.
While the Civil War ended slavery and brought the country together and World War II did all the good things that it did, ending fascism, we can't find in Vietnam that sort of super redeeming figure. But we can find in the lives of the people who fought it all of the heroism and all of the redemption and all of the possible reconciliation.
Yes, exactly.
That we would hope to find. And then it's as expressive and perhaps even more expressive than the other wars. Remember, World War II, we call the good war. It's the worst war ever. 60 million people died. It's not, more Americans died in the Civil War than in all the other American wars combined. And yet Vietnam has this special, because of its proximity to us now, because of our ability to grab a hold of it, it has the ability to teach us, I think, valuable lessons that go way beyond what your political sensibilities are.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing that we've tried to do in this film. I hope that we've done in the film.
Ken Burns' 10-part documentary series, The Vietnam War, plays out over the next 2 weeks, starting Sunday night on KERA-TV. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 9. You can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. In Fort Worth, performing arts groups are trying experiments in different spaces, new ways to reach audiences. Art and Seek's Drone Weeks has been catching up with the city's arts leaders. He'll host a state-of-the-arts event next week at the Kimball Art Museum. He sat down with Ann Bothwell, KERA's Vice President of Arts, to talk about what he's hearing.
Jerome, what's the most surprising or innovative thing that you've heard coming from the Fort Worth performing arts groups you're talking to?
Well, the Clyburn, for instance, has been a pioneer in using live streaming of its competitions and its concert performances to reach a worldwide audience of classical music fans. But that's the Clyburn that's top of the line when it comes to arts organizations. But a much smaller company has found another way to use live streaming to capitalize on the ways we watch TV now. Stage West is going to start running ads on live streaming services like Hulu and Sling TV. Here's Dana Schultes, the executive producer of Stage West.
It's kind of cool. If you ever watch Hulu or Comedy Central, they have local commercials. You'll often see a TXU commercial, for example. And so we looked into it and found that it was something that we could afford to invest in this year and see if we can engage with audiences through that medium. In fact, that's what's happening in the other space. We're filming a commercial about Stage West for streaming television.
Pop-up shows or shows in unusual venues are really a trend in the performing arts. I've seen theater groups performing in courtyards, classical musicians in bars. So Far Sounds is one of several groups that are putting on secret house concerts.
Yeah, So Far is actually a global company. It started in London. And Carolina Armstrong leads So Far Sounds DFW. And she says the company founders created it because they got tired of seeing their favorite bands in crowded clubs.
They were just finding, as I think we all do, right, if you've been to see a band you really love and you're excited for their success, but they're at a bigger venue that's more talking, more jostling, more texting, more Instagram storying, and less just focus on the music. And so they wanted to create an intimate space where musicians could really be heard and respected.
What about the future? Did you ask any of these groups what they feel they need for the future? Of course, other than just getting more people in to see their shows.
I did ask. Usually when you ask smaller theater groups, music groups, what's the single biggest thing holding them back? I'd say the number one answer you get is performance spaces. They're hard to find or they're hard to afford. But I asked Kathleen Culebro, artistic director for Amphibian Stage Productions, what's holding back Fort Worth groups? And this is what she said.
I think our city needs to get on board with arts funding. For the longest time, the arts have been significantly funded by a handful of families. And the elders of those families are getting later in life. Their children are not necessarily staying in Fort Worth. And our elected officials, not all of them, but in general, arts funding has been a very difficult sell in this community. People feel that those four or five families should pay for it all. And those families are saying it's time for others.
Obviously, cultural funding is an issue facing arts groups in other cities as well. But I thought Kathleen's analysis pointed to a situation that's very specific to Fort Worth.
Yeah, that sounds like something we'll want to hear a lot more about at your discussion next week at the Kimball. Thanks, Jerome.
It's a pleasure, Ann.
You can join the Art and Seek team and some of the leading cultural thinkers in Fort Worth. They'll take the stage a week from tonight at the Kimball Art Museum for a live State of the Arts conversation. Stick around after the discussion for a pop-up concert by So Far Sounds. You can find details at artandseek.org. Should be mostly clear skies for us later this evening with a low around 74. Tomorrow should see a high near 94, and tomorrow night partly cloudy, low around 74. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.